Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, March 16th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Elodie.
Hey, happy Monday to you, spring.
Oh, it's Monday.
Don't
try to sweet talk me with some happy Monday stuff, you know?
I love Mondays.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I love Mondays. Had a good day today. People were taking advantage of the lower prices in gold and silver, and they're still hanging at that 1154, 1155 level. Gold was down 460 today. Silver down 3 at 1572, but they were all off their highs of the day. We had 1164 for gold and 1586 for silver, so not a bad day. Platinum, yes, it's down, and it's not a good day, but it wasn't a bad day. Platinum is down 1109, and palladium down 14 at 781. USDX today, well, that's down 0.55, 99.63, taking crude oil down with it, 0.98 at 43.86. And the paper markets today had a good day, of course. Everybody's holding their breath for the Fed meeting this week to see if they see what they're going to use or how are they going to address the word patient.
Is she going to say the word patient again?
Well, they might remove it, so we'll have to just to see. You know,
I'm on pins and needles, Melody.
We will just have to be patient.
Will she say ibbity bobbity boo?
The Dow
was. She looks like the blue fairy in the Cinderella film.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
She does look like the blue fairy, Janet Yellen. So maybe she'll say ibbity bobbity boo instead of patient, and the markets will. And the markets will roar.
Well, I think they're roaring in the anticipation. They're already going to like what she said. And perhaps they've already released to the markets what she's going to say. The Dow was up 227 points, 17,997. The NASDAQ was up 57 at 49.29, along with the S&P up 27 was also 2000. Isn't that interesting? They all ended in sevens. So that's why I always say they're just computer digits that they put in there. 227, 57, and 27 to the upside. So, you know, anyway, the S&P 2081. 10-year yield, 2.10%. The yen, boy, it had a terror today. It actually, over the weekend, and it hit 104. 104, and now it's at 106. So it had a, you know, it didn't like the 104, so it is coming back. The fear and greed indicator is still showing we're 42 to the fear. That's the emotion that is driving the markets. It would be hard to tell that with a 227 point to the upside. Doesn't seem to indicate any type of fear that is there. But, you know, what the heck do we know about the fear indicators? But certainly, Federal Reserve is going to begin a two-day meeting tomorrow. And they'll release any information, whether they're going to consider raising interest rates for the first time. And they did signal in a statement after the meeting that they were considering, their last meeting, that they were considering raising interest rates later this year. Policymakers have said they would be patient when it came to raising interest rates. And, of course, investors are looking to see if the Fed removes that word from its next statement. Yeah, U.S.
What do you think they're going to do?
Well,
do you think they will raise interest rates? Do you think they'll simply say we're still going to postpone it till the end of the year? What do you think they'll do?
Well, they're going to do the same thing as they did with QE. You know, they have all this hoopla for how long, talking about they're going to raise rates, they're going to raise rates, they're going to raise rates. You know, so I think they'll probably do just a little baby step to see how the markets react. I don't think we'll see any significant increase in rates. The markets can't withstand it. So, you know, if she doesn't raise rates, then it's telling us that, gee, the economy is not doing as well as the Washington is lying about.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, so I think they'll do just a teeny weeny.
And you think they'll do that this week?
No, not this week. No. Probably come June or July, maybe.
That's possible. It's possible.
I don't expect
them to do anything other than talk about it, right?
Nothing this week. No. The direction has been perhaps by June they'll do some sort, and I concur with that. They're certainly not going to do it in September or October if there's a bad reaction. So if they're going to test the waters, it will be in, you know, June would be a good time to do it. That way they have time to, you know, if it has a big impact, they'll be able to reverse it before we head into the fall, where there's always been, you know, significant volatility in the markets. And hey, if the markets go up after they do a teeny weeny little rate adjustment, well, you know, then they're not going to be worried.
If the markets go up, you think the markets will go up?
I don't think they will. But if they did, you got to remember these markets are manipulated.
I understand that, but there's a limit to how much manipulation they can do. And the problem I see is, so long as, from my perspective, so long as there's evidence of deflation and the dollar is growing more valuable, that's lethal to borrowers. If you're already in debt and, you know, everybody took out the loan on the house because you could pay it off in cheaper dollars. We anticipated inflation, so you'd be able to get over on the banks and the creditors and, yay, we'll pay it off in cheaper dollars. That encourages people to take out loans and buy houses. If we are in a period of deflation, you pay it off in more expensive dollars. And that's where we appear to be, at least in, as if we can believe what we see from the U.S. dollar index. The dollar's value is growing. Prices are, in many instances, falling. And it's lethal for people that are borrowing money because they have to pay it off in more expensive dollars. I mean, the dollar is up, in according to U.S. dollar index, it's up by 25% the last 8 months. All right? That means if you borrowed $100,000 and you're sitting on $100,000 debt, that debt has now increased to $125,000 in terms of purchasing power. You'll still pay off $100,000, but it'll be equivalent to $125,000 in purchasing power as compared to $100,000 just, you know, last March or whenever. It's dangerous for... dangerous, difficult, anathema for borrowers. And who's the biggest borrower in the world? United States government. So I just don't see, and when to raise interest rates would be to increase even more so. It would tend to increase how much you're paying back on your loans. A lot of people won't be able to make the payments.
Well, I agree. I tried to give both sides to see what would happen either way, is why. But I really don't believe, I mean, I just don't think the economy can withstand a higher rate to any degree. I mean, there's just absolutely no way.
Be patient. Be patient. We'll get to you, but not right now.
And, you know, so this economy, the markets have, you know, are only fluid based on where they're keeping the lending rate. So it's been at this level for 6 years. Of course, we see it's, you know, part of the ability to have, this rally in the stock. So, no, there's no way they're going to reverse it unless they're planned and ready to do. We also have the debt ceiling that was supposed to expire today. Nothing on that other than I came across some information late last week. You have Jack Lew. He's, you know, doing some emergency changes, not paying some things and so forth and in order to keep the government functioning. But, you know, people say the debt ceiling doesn't mean anything anymore. But, hey, you'd think they'd at least talk about it and show where this country is headed, that we are at these significant degrees of debt, that things are not improving. But
not only not improving, in some regards they can't improve.
They're declining.
We've painted ourselves into the place between the rock and the hard surface, and now what? I mean, there's not a graceful exit on this. There's not a painless exit, although it may be that they can postpone our day of reckoning for some significant period of time. We don't know that the day of reckoning is coming in weeks, months, or years. But a day of reckoning is coming just the same when someone's going to have to admit can't pay the debt. Guess what? Can't pay it. And at that point in time, terrible things are going to happen in this country.
The Germany's DAX, it rose 2.2%. It's over 12,000. It's the first time the index has closed above 12,000. I mean, you know, it's just everything you read, and I got some information here on Germany. There's a lot of people over in Germany who don't like the direction in which little Merkel is taking them. And you have the France's CAC, it rose 1% to over 5,000. So these European stocks, you know, have once they started doing this. Now, it's funny, the European Central Bank's been talking about their stimulus for over a year, and it's now just the stocks are just really surging this year.
But are they surging, or are they simply responding to inflation? I mean, they're trying to cause inflation. If they do, then we can presume prices will go up, including for their markets.
Well, I assume since the euro is dropping out of bed that...
It'll be good to sell exports to foreign countries. But insofar as they inflate the currency, it's also going to raise domestic prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for international prices. It's bad for domestic prices, or at least that's the way I view it.
Mm-hmm. There
Which
was...
means, you know, it's one of the problems we have when we start fooling around with these fiat currencies. And it means one thing if you're selling, if you're in France and you're selling things to Germany, it may be a good thing. If you're in France buying things made in France, it's a bad thing. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Who's really benefits from this stuff? And on top of which, when you begin to look at the problems you have, just trying to comprehend what's going on with inflation, deflation, changes in the value of your currency, that's happening to some degree all over the world right now. And it has to be confusing for most people because we tend to look at a dollar bill as a dollar bill. And we're inclined to think, well, yeah, the price is fixed. No, it's not. You know, and it could go up. Your dollar could be worth more. It could be worth less. There are people, if you've got $100,000 stored away in your bank account or wherever, depending on the whims of people in positions of power, Maybe you've got $100,000 in purchasing power there. Maybe you have $80,000 in purchasing power. Maybe you have $120,000 in purchasing power, even though you still have $100,000 nominal size of your savings in that account no matter what. What does that mean, and how can people be expected to even understand it? Again, it's like using a rubber ruler to measure the distance from Dallas to Fort Worth. You know, it depends. If you stretch the ruler, the distance will be relatively short. If you compress the ruler, the distance will be relatively long. It just becomes confusing where you look at it and all you say is, at times you feel like, oh my God, I don't even want to make the effort to understand. But you have to, because if you don't, you will probably wind up being impoverished. Maybe, I don't know if that's what people in positions of power want. I don't know if that's Absolutely. Something they're just willing to tolerate. I don't know what's going on at times, but when you don't have a standard and stable system of values, very difficult to follow what's happening and have confidence that whatever's happening today will happen tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now. I think in the end, that loss of confidence, that confusion spawns a loss of confidence. Government tells you repeatedly that confidence is essential to operating the economy and maintaining what is perceived to be the value of the dollar or the worth of the dollar. It's all about public confidence. I don't think this confusion inspires confidence because people don't know, what should I do? Should I buy a home right now, Melody, or should I sell the home I'm living in? What's the most sensible financial choice?
The reason people are confused because we're not people who try to understand and listen to this program like this while we talk about it and relay the where we find the truth about it is we live in a world of reality. We want to learn reality. We want to know what reality is. Mm-hmm. When you're getting the information that defies the reality, that's the part where it becomes confusing because we all understand. We understand what's going on. We understand what's going on with this country and around the world. We understand that there's an agenda. We understand the New World Order. We understand those that are behind it. We understand about the bankers and the stripping and putting us all into slaves, and they take everything that we make. We get all that. What we don't get is how they can continue to take us to the brink and still see the system advance. It looks, the illusion it created shows that it is still advancing. That's what gets people confused. It doesn't really, you know, it's like one and one's not equaling two here, folks.
No, I understand.
And it's because of the misinformation that we receive from, and maybe too much information that's misinformation, either by intent or accident or whatever. That's how people get confused. And you're right. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether they should buy a house and what happens.
What should you sell? What should you do?
And so happens, right? Lots of times people stop. They stop living.
I understand that. That's dangerous. And that's the sort of thing
that
put us into a depression, because instead of buying a house or selling a house, maybe we do nothing. Just so I'm going to wait until things stabilize. And if you don't do something, we have less economic activity. The economy tends to slow, and that pushes us deeper into a depression. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What you got for us, Melody?
We're going to continue the 2015 special, and that will be a Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens. And I went back and I did a comparison for that today. And I went back, and this is one I've been following up on periodically and mentioning it on the program. Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. Since February 9th, the coin is higher by $60, even though that same time frame for spot gold is down $84. February 9th, spot was $12.38. I base it on spot today at $11.54. That's $84 difference. And the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens from that time is actually up $60. So it's performing incredibly well. And so we've included that in the special today, along with 20 Silver Eagles 2015, a tube of Silver Eagles, 20 of those, and one 1/10 ounce gold eagle coin for your small fractional pieces. The special includes all your shipping costs, and that total is $2,015. The Silver Eagles, these are incredible prices on these products. You're paying about 25 cents over wholesale. It's like you're buying a box of 500. I mean, these are priced incredibly small in order to fit these three coins into the 2015. So I had to do quite a bit of adjusting in order to do that. So it's a great special. That's why we call it a special 2015. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
I've got something here that's special. The National Aeronautic and Space Administration signals crisis. I'm reading the headline. California has about 1 year of water left. NASA scientists have already warned that California's groundwater supplies are at critical low points and threatening the food supply. The new Nature Climate Change piece, The Global Groundwater Crisis by James Famlageddi, a leading hydrologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, warns most of the major aquifers in the world's arid and semi-arid zones, that is, in the dry parts of the world that rely most heavily on groundwater, are experiencing rapid rates of groundwater depletion. He's not just talking about California, he's talking about the world, right? In the dry areas, they're running out of water. Now, I'm going to guess, I don't know, he doesn't say specifically in the article I'm reading that he's talking about the Middle East, but he says most of the world's arid and semi-arid zones has to be the Middle East, has to be North Africa, I presume. What's going to happen if they run out of groundwater? All right? The most worrisome fact, the article continues, nearly all of these underlie the world's great agricultural reasons and are primarily responsible for their high productivity. We're not just talking about that we're going to run out of water in the desert. We're talking about we're going to run out of water where a lot of food is grown. Data from NASA satellites show that the total amount of water stored in the Sacramento and San Joaquin River basins, that is, all of the snow, river, and reservoir water, water in the soils, and groundwater combined, was 34 million acre feet below normal in 2014. That loss is nearly 1.5 times the capacity of Lake Mead, America's largest reservoir. Statewide, we've been dropping more, naming California. We've been dropping more than 12 million acre feet of total water yearly since 2011. Roughly two-thirds of the losses are attributable to groundwater pumping for agriculture, agricultural irrigation in the Central Valley. They haven't had enough rain. They have to rely more on irrigation in order to grow the crops, and now they're running out of water. Farmers have little choice but to pump more groundwater during droughts, especially when their surface water allocations have been slashed 80 to 100%. But these pumping rates are excessive and unsustainable. They're trying to pump enough water out of the ground to make up for the rain they're not getting. California is running out of water. Problem started before the current drought started. At least there's the loss has been ongoing since at least 2002 when they started paying attention. California has only about 1 year of water supply left in its reservoirs, and our strategic backup supply groundwater is rapidly disappearing. California has no contingency plan except staying in emergency mode and praying for rain. All of this implies that a year or so from now, the price of food is going to go up. Farms outside of California that have access to water may become increasingly profitable. Food shortages are at least possible, maybe likely. Food riots are unlikely, but they're not inconceivable. If we have a year before California runs out of water, it might not be a bad idea to use this year as an opportunity to establish your own garden or perhaps aquaculture operation. Not necessarily a bad idea. I mean, this implies that the price of food, the source of food, the supply of food is likely to be diminished, you know, to some degree if California goes offline because it doesn't have enough water. Source of supply food is going to go down. Price of food is probably going to go up. Not necessarily a bad idea to, you know, get some seeds and whatever else you think you need and work on a garden this year where you can learn what you have to do. Keep that garden functioning properly. And by the following year, when maybe you're going to need the garden, maybe you'll know what you're doing. So, Are you going to be a gardener, Melody? Do you plan on doing any gardening here in the near future?
Absolutely. And this is in conjunction with the report that we talked about a week or so ago about how the government, the federal government, is withholding water to a lot of those farmers in the high produce areas of California. So certainly we'll see our produce certainly to increase, and put that on top of even hamburger increasing 22% over in a year. Food prices are certainly rising. And so it just adds to the importance of being prepared and being having your ability to grow. And if you don't have that, well, you know, getting the things that you know, that will help you through these difficult times, and higher prices. And with higher prices, you're going to most likely see higher prices in gold. So that's why it's also important to preserve your wealth, your purchasing power. Either way, you need, whether inflation, deflation, gold will work in both situations.
I think somebody might be trying to, if we're having some problem with a call-in, and the call-in number has been changed recently. Someone's trying to call in. They might be calling into the previous number. We have a new and improved number. All right? This one is 3738. 855-566-3738. So if someone's trying to call in, that was the one that should work properly. Well, I understand. This, you know, things become increasingly difficult, and you can feel the circumstances tightening. I know they're not completely intolerable. They're not even close to being intolerable, at least not for most people. But at the same time, you can kind of feel it's tightening, you know, getting a little tighter. The hands on your neck feel like they're just getting a little tighter, and we are headed toward a difficult time. Got an article here from Reuters. Dollar gallops to fresh highs, stocks and oil fall. The dollar continued to power higher on Friday, pressuring stocks and commodities on expectations of a Federal Reserve interest rate hike. I don't think that's not very soon.
That
stand in
that.
Contrast to easing monetary policy actions by most other major central banks. What we have here is another illustration of, they're just talking about the teeter-totter effect that goes on, particularly in relationship to the U.S. dollar index. For those of you that kind of follow the U.S. dollar index and are familiar with it, it is a measure, it's a teeter-totter. We've got the dollar on one end of the teeter-totter, and we've got six other fiat currencies at the other end of the teeter-totter. And when those six currencies, to the extent they on average lose value due to inflation, the dollar gains value and slides into deflation. When those six currencies at the one end of the teeter-totter gain value due to deflation, the dollar loses value due to inflation. There is a relative, that's what the U.S. dollar index does. It measures, it's a teeter-totter that compares the dollar, purchasing power of the dollar, purchasing power to seven or six other fiat currencies. And when things are, when they're creating inflation in the European Union, or they're trying to, it contributes to deflation in our country. U.S. dollar index was on track for back-to-back weekly gain of more than 2%, setting up its strongest two-week performance in almost 5 years. In fact, the dollar has been going, it has shifted from merely a significant rise, where in the last 3 weeks or so, it's gone vertical. And I don't know how long that can be sustained, but it can't be sustained for long. The dollar is increasing its value, its perceived value, at an accelerating rate, and we'll watch and see how long that can be sustained. But increasing the value of the dollar is terrible for the government. It's terrible for dealing with the national debt. It's terrible for debtors. It's one of the hallmarks of an economic depression. When you go into deflation, that typically signals you are in or approaching an economic depression. And that's where we appear to be, if you can believe the U.S. dollar index. And the great surprise, of course, is why is the government not doing anything about this, at least so far? Because it seems to be contrary to the economy's interest, it's contrary to the government's interest, and yet the government is allowing it to take place. This article continues. Mark Spellman, portfolio manager of Alpine's Equity Income Fund in Purchase, New York, said, "What's different is the strength of the dollar is having an impact. The market doesn't know how to react," and that to me was the important point. We are increasingly in times where people are sitting around and say, What? The dollar's gaining value for most of our lifetimes. Dollar has lost value due to intentional institutionalized inflation that was intentionally caused, perpetrated by our federal government and the Federal Reserve. And now all of a sudden we've slipped into an era of deflation. Contrary to the debtor's interest, contrary to the interests of the economy, contrary to the government's interest in terms of paying off the national debt. Why is this being allowed? It's strange. And it does not bode well. I can't understand why this has been allowed to take place for about 8 months now. And yet here it is. I expect it to be stopped unless people in positions of power have an ulterior motive and they want to push this country closer to some sort of deeper into recession, perhaps even into depression. But we shouldn't, the government should not be tolerating, and talked about this last week and wrote about it in an article that was in American Survival magazine that Melody puts out. Just pointing out there's only two explanations for this. One is that the government intentionally wants more deflation. And the second one, they're making it happen. They want it. And I can't understand why, but they want it. They're in control. They have sufficient power. They want deflation. They intend to have deflation. Then they're making it happen. The second explanation is that the government lacks sufficient power to stop deflation. Throughout my lifetime, they've tried to cause inflation. And they succeeded, generally speaking, and generally kept it in the neighborhood of 1.5%, 2%, although sometimes it went much higher. But they kept us away from deflation. That was always the enemy. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, what the heck? We're allowing deflation to take place the same way we allow illegal aliens to enter into this country. No one seems concerned. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, this is a problem. This, you know, it's one of those things. You look at it and you wonder, what's happening here, Melody?
Well, again, it's just another where a lot of things just doesn't, in many manipulated markets and trying to think of what they want. And their time frames are certainly a lot different than our time frames. So we do have a caller. He was able to get through. And we have Willard from Alabama.
Well, Willard.
Hey, yes, I've been listening since 2009 when it was Bob and Melody. So I want to play devil's advocate with you for a moment and hope you won't be offended. But in 2009, Bob was talking about, oh, everything's going to collapse. There's going to be rioting in the streets. Well, 2010, oh, everything's going to collapse. There's going to be rioting in the streets. And he's not unique, and you're not unique, because the whole shortwave seems to be based on that. And they're all selling something that you need desperately before everything collapses. So that makes me wonder. And the second thing is, I took your advice, Melanie, bought a bunch of silver. Okay, had it now for years and years, and I've lost my shirt. However, I am a long-term thinker like you teach. But my question is, all of these others and yourself, these gold and silver dealers, fiat currency, not worth anything. You better get out. However, if you'll send us your fiat currency, we'll send you some real gold. And I began to think about it, and I said, wait a minute. There's a step in logic missing here, and I know that the general explanation is, well, we're trying to beat the system, and we'll make a profit, and you'll make a profit, and you'll be better off, and we'll move that fiat currency faster than you can to get rid of it for gold, and we can get more gold. Okay, that's logical. But after a while, and I've only been... this
well, let us...
for, what, 6 years now. It does right. start getting kind of old and
okay.
loses its logical luster.
All right, Willard, we're going to head to break. You stay on the line. We're going to head to break, and we'll answer your questions when we come back.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1 pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we are going to attempt to give a response to Willard from Alabama, called in, and he's essentially saying, look, everybody's been arguing that the end of the world is coming in pretty short order, and therefore you have to have whatever. You've got to have something, and based on that, it's been a sales pitch for a lot of people, and that's true. It has been. All right. We see coming economic problems, and it has been a sales pitch for a lot of people. But that doesn't change the fundamentals. The only thing that we learn out of this is that so far nobody's been able to identify, put a date on this. The fundamentals haven't changed. We have a fiat monetary system. I've got one report here that I don't think any of them have ever lasted more than maybe 4 generations, 70 or 80 years. I've seen one article that we have on that we might get to today. It says the fiat currency on average lasts 30 years. We have had a pure fiat currency since 1971. We're in over 40 years. We are due for some sort of a major change. All right? This is statistics, in a sense. This is looking at history. This is people say those who don't listen to, don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. We're looking at history and we're saying we can't give you prophecy. We can only tell you the best that we can see at the time. And it's been unfortunate for everyone involved that we can't peer into the future and give you an absolute date, but we just can't. And no one else can either. But you still have to look at the fundamentals, in my opinion. And if the fundamentals say this thing's going to blow up in everybody's face and not so long from now, well, what's not so long? Is it before this fall? Is it in the next year? Is it in the next 3 years? I don't know when it's going to happen. I've never claimed to know when it was going to happen, but I know that it has managed to survive. Systems managed to survive more so than I would have thought possible. All right? And I'm not the only one who's made that mistake, but it's just real. But it's still, but the fact remains. We're kind of like, we're again, we look at this, an objective observer can see we are on something that is similar to the SS Titanic. We're cruising through the icy waters, we're running next to icebergs and one thing another. It's a good time to hang on to your life preserver and stand next to a lifeboat, because it looks to me as if we are in dangerous waters. Now, those people who don't believe we're in dangerous waters, well, you know, get your, you don't need your life preserver and you don't need a lifeboat. What you need perhaps are some skis so you can water ski behind the boat. But I don't think that's appropriate at this time.
Well, Willer got into the market in 2009. A lot of things were happening in 2009. But I've been selling gold for a lot longer than 2009. And you're right, Al. The fundamentals, when you have a fiat currency, you buy gold and silver as an insurance policy. It's supposed to enhance your portfolio. Getting in 2009, you had everybody and their brother get into the gold and silver market because it was an easy sell. They could make quick money. They lost their jobs in the stock market and in being in financial planners and everything, and they were able to come and they started selling gold and silver differently. They promised silver, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $800,000 numbers on silver. The collapse of the COMEX. And yes, these things were, you know, the COMEX, the collapse, the shortage of silver, yes, those things were all real. But they overlooked the true fundamentals. And that's what we're about. We are different than everybody else out there. We do stick to the fundamentals. You buy gold and silver as the insurance policy. We have a fiat currency. It is losing value. It has lost value. And those who have purchased over a long period of time have done well. Silver is always more volatile. But I'll tell you what, when some of the people coming into the market in silver at that time when it was pushing 50, all they wanted was silver. I couldn't explain the differences. I couldn't explain the fundamentals. So sometimes you get caught up in the emotion and, you know, some things get thrown out the window. You buy on that emotion without truly understanding the fundamentals and having your portfolio positioned. With that said, yeah, you're right. The markets have been hammered. And again, it is manipulated. You buy long term. You position your portfolio. Personally, my opinion, you will see gold and silver numbers go higher. Yeah. We just have to stay weathered and focused on the fundamentals. That's why I get upset when I hear, every day I hear people call me and tell me, well, so-and-so said there's shortages in the market and the product. It's like, well, not today. That doesn't mean it's not a small, tight market where if you had a real situation that occurred, if 2009 occurred today with the increased amount of debt that we have, it would be far worse today than then. And to say that gold and silver couldn't disappear overnight, product, absolutely. It's a very small and tight market. So you've done well, and yes, it is disappointing to see gold, so particularly silver, go from 50 to where we're at today. But I do believe we'll see a turnaround. And, hey, I always say, let's get the 50 in silver, and then we'll see where it's going to go. And, you know, this is a step-by-step process. Markets change, particularly when it's manipulated. That's what you have to address. But stick with the fundamentals. And
there's another fundamental of people that Willard should take into consideration. The price of gold is rising in virtually every country on the face of the earth. All the major currencies are inflating. Price of gold is rising over most of the surface of the earth, with the exception of the United States. And that's because, for reasons that seem inexplicable, our government is allowing deflation to take place, evidence of deflation to rise over the course of the last 7-8 months. All right? It's part of what we're dealing with here. So you can't just sit back and say the advice to buy gold was just bad. What's happened is it's risen around the world, but it's not rising here right now. Weigh it. You know? I mean, and one other point. You have to take responsibility for your own buying decisions. We're not telling you that a particular product at a particular time is absolutely the solution to all your problems. We are generally telling you, look, you've got to try to educate yourself and you have to make a decision. What do you want to do? And for how long do you want to take this? Do you want to take, if you want to make an investment or you can make a fast buck and just buy it today and sell it tomorrow? You know, gold or silver, there's no point to it. Right? You need to get into something. If you're going to speculate, go into the stocks, maybe the bonds, whatever. But if you're looking for a long-term investment, you know, Warren Buffett has made that comment. He says he doesn't buy anything that he wouldn't be happy to keep for 10 years. Just put it in the box, set it off to the side, don't even look at it. Open it up 10 years later and see what it's worth. That's Buffett's a fundamental part of his investing objectives, strategy. If you had to take one investment and put it in a box, say, okay, I'm going to put everything I've got, all the wealth I have, I'm going to put it into one stock, one bond, one commodity, one whatever, put it in a box, and I'll go, I won't look at it again for 10 years. What would you do? What would you put in that box other than gold? You know, a practical matter, you're not going to touch it, can't buy more, can't sell more, 10 years, sits in the box. What are you going to do? What are you going to do besides gold? Or perhaps silver. But in any case, Willard, we're it's like everybody else is in this. We're not just talking about it. It's not just a question of you made the point, you know, and we'll take your fiat dollars. We take your fiat dollars, and what do we do with them?
We buy
gold for ourselves.
Not only that, who pays for these programs? Why do you think we have such a small amount of advertisements on our program? Goes in to pay for this program and many other programs that I support. So a lot of those commissions that we get, I don't have any money bombs. I don't have any of this. A lot of it is used out of commissions, which is basically out of my pocket that goes back into these programs. And yes, there's bills to pay. There's power, there's employees, there is everything else. So, yeah, I can't pay that with gold. So, yes, those fiat currencies get used. So
we still advise other people, and we follow the advice ourselves.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm not here just to promote gold so I can make a fast buck so I can buy a new Cadillac. What I'm doing with the vast majority of my income is buying more gold. I just see this as a buying opportunity. I don't care if it goes down, fine. I don't like it, but it doesn't disturb me, all that tells me, because sooner or later, there's not a fiat currency in the history of the world that has lasted for long. And the reason for me to go into gold or silver is not because, I've said it before, it's not because they're shiny, they're metallic, whatever. That's not the reason I do this. I do this because I am convinced that the dollar has to give up the ghost and in my lifetime. And when it does, I expect to see the price of gold and silver. I expect to see those prices rise dramatically.
You know, he mentioned about rioting. Well, I wanted to bring this up about German. There was a rally over there. Protesters carried half German, half Russian flags. It's not a big deal, but it's something. It held signs that read, "Stop terror. Stop the New World Order. We want to live as free people in a free Germany." And this is reports out of German media. The protests further condemned what they referred to as Germany's interfering in Ukrainian domestic affairs with NATO. There was a former broadcast journalist for a German television channel, ARD. His name was Christoph Hostel. And he accused Chancellor Merkel of supporting Nazis in Ukraine, demanding that she should be handcuffed and brought to trial in a court of justice to respond to questions regarding her government's role in escalating tensions. So, you know, people are getting tired, and these are signs. I mean, hey, look at Ferguson. Look at all these various places that are popping up. You know, people always thought it was going to be a financial that they'd be rioting, and that might come to pass. I always said it was going to be a racial thing that's going to explode in the riots and bring things down, and we're seeing that. So you can have different types of riots and demonstrations and so forth, and you're seeing these all around the world. People are getting,
And you're going to see more of them, if only because the food supply is likely, to, if NASA is correct, and the water supply is being diminished for a significant number of agricultural producing areas, including California, you're going to see some people run out of groceries here. Their groceries will either be too expensive for them to afford, or they might not even have a supply that will be conducive. It won't necessarily cause riots. But it'll be one more thing, you know, where you're getting increasingly on people's last nerves, and all of a sudden it's, you know, something's going to set them off.
But we
live in difficult and perilous times. I don't think anybody can get around that. Unstable times, unpredictable times. What do you do? There's a certain amount of common sense. Just look, I got to protect myself. How can I? What is sensible? Not a guaranteed deal, but what is sensible? What is most sensible under these circumstances? I'm of the belief that one of the things that's most sensible is precious metals.
You know, we talk about Janet Yellen and her word patience. And I'll tell you what, you do have to be patient in the gold and silver market. It has been, you know, dragged across the mainstream media like it's nothing but a piece of metal. It's a piece of junk. It doesn't mean anything. But yet more and more every day you're hearing it as used as a currency. And I'll tell you what, you ought to be thankful that we have this time, because I don't think we're going to enjoy when we do have a true collapse.
No,
and when there
not.
Is more rioting going on. So, you know, prepare not only with your finances, but with your food, your water. That's why we prepare. We don't know when things are going to happen. That's the importance of getting that insurance policy. And just be thankful that we have another day to prepare. Because when that day comes, you're going to wish you had another day.
Well, one last thing, and that is, you know, the odds, if you want to calculate the odds on whether the dollar is going to last or gold's going to be a good investment, gold has a 5,000-year track record. The dollar, the fiat dollar, has a 40-some-year track record. What do you think is going to be valuable 10 years from now, or 50 years from now, or 100 years from now, or 1,000 years from now? Fiat dollar or gold? All investments go up, all of them go down. You know, you have your problem, but you can't beat that track record for gold. 5,000 years, people have been treating it as money. They're not going to treat the fiat dollar for as money for another 5,000 years. That's not going to happen. Let's see if we've got time to do something else. I guess we're almost out of time, aren't we, Melody?
Yes, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about Rush. Yeah, I wanted to talk.
We are.
I'd wanted to talk a little bit more about Russia today. Putin was spotted just kind of like Elvis, but there's certainly tensions ramping up, military actions and so forth. But we'll get that to tomorrow.
Okay, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.